I'd like to talk about, are we floundering in our faith? This is something I think it's important for us to think about and to talk about, and certainly something we want to correct ourselves on, because as examples to other people of how God would have us to live, it's very important for us to have faith and to live by our faith. And we're going to look at some examples of what the Bible teaches us about faith, and we realize that this is one of the cornerstones of our relationship with God and how we deal with serving Him. And so it's very important for us to think about this. And also we realize that sometimes it's one of the things that we may not think about as much because it's so fundamental. And oftentimes we find that sometimes the fundamental things we lose sight of. So we're going to talk about this for a short time this afternoon. The text comes from Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. This is a situation that took place after Jesus had fed the multitude with I believe it was the five fish and the two loaves of bread. The apostles had seen this miracle that Jesus had performed, and after the multitudes had been fed, he told the apostles to go on ahead of him across the sea, and he stayed there, and Jesus stayed there and dispersed the people, and then he went up into the mountain to pray. And as he came walking upon the water, they were afraid. And sometimes I think it's hard for us to relate to what the apostles must have felt, because they saw these miracles that Jesus performed, and yet he would do something that would cause them to wonder or doubt, or in this case, just to be afraid that they weren't seeing, they weren't believing what they were seeing, so to speak. But as Jesus came out to them upon the water, Peter wanted to go to him, and we see where Peter, as the most outspoken of the apostles, was one who usually was their spokesperson, or the one who came forward first with questions and things of this nature. And he wanted to go out there and to meet Jesus out on the water. And we see when he started out of the ship, he was doing all right. He was able to walk out there and to walk towards Jesus. But as soon as he lost sight of Jesus and started looking at what was going on around him, they were in the middle of a storm. And if you've ever been in a boat out on the sea when it stormed, or even seen pictures or movies of what can happen, it can be very upsetting. And you're tossed to and fro, and being out on the open water like that can be quite frightening because of the potential for hazards to occur. And of course, so we realize in the days of that the New Testament was written, they don't have boats like we have now either. They weren't put together the way with fiberglass and the things that boats are made of now. They were fairly weak and could easily be destroyed by such a storm. So we see that Peter lost sight of what was going on, and of course this is an easy illustration for us to relate to life today, or life throughout the ages really, is when we have faith in God and desire to do His will, and we begin to let other things distract us, pretty soon we find ourselves in trouble. And how many times have we read or seen or known people that were just like Peter when he began to sink? The first thing he did was call out to God or call out to Jesus. And we see many people in the world today who don't give religion or God a second thought until they're in trouble, and then the first thing they want to do is call on God for help. In this situation, we see that Peter called upon Jesus to help him, and Jesus lifted him up out of the water, and he said to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And we remember that Jesus had told his apostles at some time before this that if they had a faith as a grain of mustard seed, they could move mountains. And this occurred at a time when they had tried to cast a demon out of someone and they weren't able to do it. And Jesus said they couldn't do it because their faith was weak. So from the very beginning, Jesus taught how important faith was and what it means to have faith and how faith can help us endure through all things. In the Hebrew epistle, we know that Paul wrote that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In the days of the early church, we know that the apostles and some of the disciples and the various men that were appointed to be teachers at that time had spiritual gifts. They were allowed to perform miracles and things of this nature to show that they had the authority from God to teach the things that they were teaching. And this was a supernatural thing that occurred that only took place in the early church, because we know that the only people that had the ability to do this were the apostles that were initially given this ability, and then others whom they were able to pass the gifts on to. But once all the apostles died, those gifts couldn't be passed on to anyone else, and eventually the people that had them died. And we know that those things no longer occur in the world. They had a time and a place and a purpose in the days of the early church, and that time has long since passed. But we see throughout the New Testament, both in the Gospel and in the Epistles, that these things were vital to prove to people that these men had the authority from God. There were many people going about teaching or proclaiming that they were the Messiah. Even in the days in which Jesus was teaching, there were other men who were going about trying to convince people that they were the one that was sent by God to free the children of Israel and to restore their kingdom. And just as we see in the world today, there are many charlatans, and I'm sure many of them genuinely felt they knew what they were talking about, but in reality they were leading people astray. And so it's very important for these gifts to show that these people had the authority and power from God. Today we find it's harder than ever to get people to try to think about religion or try to build upon their faith or to have any faith at all, and because we know that people have different attitudes towards accepting the Word of God. Nowadays, as we said, in the church we don't have spiritual gifts. We rely on faith, and we have to encourage other people to rely on faith as well. And one of the things that one of the ways we can think about this is having faith in God is kind of like learning how to swim. Some people, when they want to learn how to swim, either they do it themselves or somebody pushes them into the deep end of a swimming pool and they have to learn how to swim to get out, or somebody has to jump in and save them. And sometimes we see people come into the church like that as well. They may come in and hear one sermon and they decide to be baptized, and they're gung-ho, they're going for it. Other people we see would be like someone that would wade into the deep or the shallow end of a pool to get acquainted with the water to find out what it was all about. And we see people that come into the church like that as well. They come and they listen, and they come and they hear, they listen again and again, and sometimes it takes a long time for them to accept the things that they're hearing and believe them and have faith in them and then act upon them. So we see that it's different people have different attitudes, but it's our responsibility as Christians to persuade people to try to have faith. And of course, as we said, the way we show this is by having faith ourselves and exercising our faith in the way that we live. It's often necessary for us, I think, to monitor our faith, to really question ourselves and be honest with ourselves, and think about how strong is our faith. If it's not as strong as it should be, then we certainly should be working on correcting that, and we should not let that be something that's not that we don't maintain. We see in the world it's becoming, I thought it was bad a few years ago, now more than ever it seems. The idea of physical beauty is really taking over with all these different plastic surgeries they have now and different methods of making physical beauty more and more important. And we see people exercising, and certainly these things, there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself, but when it becomes more important to you than anything else, that's when it becomes a problem. And if people exercise their faith as much as they did their bodies, the world would be a much better place, I believe. And I'm sure that you would all agree that if everyone did that, people would get along better. We wouldn't see the problems occurring in the world that we see today. We're going to look at what faith has done for others and see how that can be reflected in how we can not only increase our own faith, but help others to do so as well. The next scripture we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 9, and we'll begin reading with verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. We see in this text, because these men believed that Jesus could heal them, they received their sight. Again, this is something that today we don't have miraculous healing, but that doesn't mean that that God doesn't require the same faith of us that these men had. It's just that our faith is channeled in a different direction now. Certainly, there are people in the world today who are in need of miracles such as this, but that's not what God's plan was for mankind. Certainly, the church would be a lot stronger in number, and there'd be more people interested in the church if the spiritual gifts had been something that was handed down from generation to generation, but that wasn't the way God intended for it to be. He intended for us to have faith in the New Testament scriptures as they were given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we live by that faith, and it's important for us to do that, and it's important for us to realize that these things were done in the beginning, again, to show the authority and power that Jesus was given and his followers by God. And again, that's something that we find that people today don't seem to want to understand. There's many charlatans and fake faith healers out there who... whether they pay people to do it or they think they, many times it's, I think people come forward and they honestly think that that person made them feel better for a little bit, but then they go to the doctor and find out that the cancer they had didn't disappear and things of this nature. And there's a lot of people that are trying to deceive through this idea. But again, it's important for us to realize that it's faith alone now that God expects of us, and we're not going to get physical things in return for that, but certainly we get spiritual strength and spiritual blessings from having the kind of faith that these men had. And this is but one of many examples that we find in the Gospels of Jesus healing people. We think about the woman who just touched his clothes as he walked by and was healed, and he wondered who did that. And she said that, and he said it was her faith. The faith that she had in him is what healed her. I'd like now to read from Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. This is when Jesus is teaching about the day of judgment coming, and he asked these men if they believed the thing, or if they understood the things that he taught, and they said yes, that they did believe it, and their faith in it was strong enough that we are members of the church today, almost 2,000 years later, because these men, despite the physical harm that they were that they could have been subjected to, and the rejection of the Jews. We know that many of the Jews that were converted to Christianity were rejected by their families and friends because they had, as their family and friends had seen it, they had turned their back on the old law. They were willing to give up all these things and sacrifice these things to build the New Testament church, and because of that, it has existed to this day, and we can become members, and then it becomes our responsibility to do the same thing, to have the faith in the things that Jesus taught, and to realize that Judgment Day is coming. Every day it seems like it's more closer than it ever was before, and we realize that just the progression of time makes that so. But the state of the world and the way people are conducting themselves makes it seem more and more apparent that time is ever closer. And if we have faith in God and realize that He's going to do these things, it should provoke within us the desire to serve Him and to do His will, so that we won't suffer the consequences of those, as He said, would be cast into the fire. Certainly we don't have any desire for that to happen to us or to anyone else that we care about. And it's certainly important for us to have faith in that and to show others our faith and to try to encourage them, excuse me, to have it as well. Matthew chapter 15, beginning of verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, True, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Excuse me. We often see that in desperate times people act out of character. This woman was one who was not a Jew. Excuse me. She was one who even though she wasn't a Jew, she knew she needed help. Her daughter, as the scripture says here, her daughter was vexed with the devil, and as she wanted her daughter to be whole again, and she saw in Jesus someone who could make that possible. And the reference that Jesus makes here about dogs, of course, we realize this is where he's talking about the fact that he came to the Jews. We know that Jesus, the whole time he was here upon the earth, and throughout the 3.5 years approximately that he ministered here upon the earth, that his message went out to the Jews, and yet his message was so strong, the things that he did reflected so much of his character that people other than Jews were certainly attracted to him. And that's what the woman meant when she said that the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Even though at that particular time, the words that Jesus were speaking were only intended for the Jews, there were Gentiles that were hearing the message and receiving it, and no doubt were encouraged by it and wanted to be part of it. And that's why, again, it's important for us today in the way that we live. We never know who we're going to affect. We may be trying to help someone or talk to a friend or a neighbor or someone in our family, and the way that we act may influence someone else that we're not even aware is paying attention to how we live and the way that we act, and yet our very actions may influence them to develop an interest in the church and the interest of and why we do things the way that we do. And that's why it's so important for us as God's children and as His ambassadors here upon the earth to live a good example, because we never know who's going to see us and who's going to become interested because of what we do. And oftentimes it's not the people that we're after to try to help. Sometimes it's just somebody on the sidelines, so to speak, that takes enough of an interest in who we are and what we're about to want to find out more about it. We can also see in this story foreshadowing of the fact that eventually all would be accepted by God in the New Testament. There were a few times throughout the Gospels when Jesus ended up dealing with people who were not Jews. We know Dennis mentioned this morning, of course, the story of the Good Samaritan didn't directly deal with Jesus, but it was a parable that he taught. And the woman at the well, we know As Dennis also mentioned this morning, were some that were not directly Jews, but they certainly were used by Jesus to teach truths about how men was going to deal with God from this point forward. It's also interesting to note, we realize that that God hears the prayers of His children. He doesn't hear the prayers of those who are not His children, and yet this woman's cry was heard. And we often find that this is why many people don't have any faith in God and turn their backs on religion, is they pray for things and then they don't get them. And it discourages them, and it's just because they don't understand the way that God operates and the plan that He has set in motion. Oftentimes in entertainment especially, we find things that they certainly aren't scriptural, but when we see them, they make us think and make us understand how other people think. One of the things that came into mind when I was thinking about this was a movie that came out several years ago with Burt Reynolds called The End. And I don't remember all the particulars about it, but for some reason he wanted to die. And finally, at the end of the movie, he had waded out into the ocean and was trying to drown himself. And once he got out there and started to drown, he realized he wanted to live after all. So he's trying to struggle back to the shore, and as he was doing it, he was making God all these promises of things that he was going to do. And of course, the closer he got to land, the less reasonable the promises became, to the point where you realize if he got out of the water, he wasn't really going to do anything that he said he was going to do. And it's important for us to know how other people think so we can help them to understand the way that God really operates. I'd like now to read from John chapter 11, beginning of verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Here we see the great faith that Martha had when her brother Lazarus had died. They were grieving, and as we see, Jesus heard about his friend that had passed away, and Jesus wept. This was someone that he cared a great deal about here in the earth, and it was his desire to go and see the sisters of Lazarus. And we see that once he got there, Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days. And we see that the faith that Martha had in Jesus helped her to endure her grief. She was able to go out there and to greet Jesus and the others as they came to see her. And we see that Martha's statement also reveals that she believed that anything was possible because she did believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And I think this is an important scripture for us to remember, that if we put our faith in God, He can help us to endure all things. Many times we face trials and tribulations in this life, and many in this congregation have endured some pretty horrible things, and yet we know that we're able to do it if we put our faith in God and we realize that everything happens for a purpose. We often or seldom actually understand why, but that's not for us to know. All it is for us to know is that all things happen to God's will, and when we have faith in that and accept it, it helps us to overcome many things that other people can't handle. That's why there's so many therapists in the world, and every self-help book that comes out makes the New York Times bestsellers list, because people are looking for something to help them feel better. They're looking for something to make their lives have meaning, and all they have to do, they don't have to go to the bookstore and buy the new bestseller. All they got to do is pick up their Bible and start reading it and have faith in the things that it teaches, and they'll find a comfort there that they're never going to find in years of therapy or self-help books, because when we put our faith in God, it helps us to overcome those things and to move on. And that's what becomes hard for people. And again, when we're able to do this, people look upon us and they see something in us they don't see in other people. And again, that's an encouragement to them. John chapter 21, beginning of verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. When we think about this passage of Scripture, we realize that Jesus must have been subtly reminding Peter of the fact that Peter had denied him three times before he was crucified. So Jesus asked Peter three times if he really loves him, because we realize as we get into the book of Acts and later on into the epistles that Peter was going to be one of the driving forces in establishing the early church. And Jesus knew that he was leaving this, that he was leaving this responsibility to Peter and to the other apostles to carry on the teaching that he had done. Jesus knew that his time upon the earth had passed. He would very soon be ascending back up to his Father to do the things that God requires of him to prepare heaven for all of those who will be accepted into it. And it was now going to be the responsibility of Peter and the other apostles and the other disciples and followers of Jesus to carry on the work. So it's very important for Jesus to remind Peter that he should think about his faith, and if he really had the faith in Jesus that would cause him to be one of his followers in the first place. And we see that Peter, even though Jesus asked him three times and he was somewhat upset by it, each time he told Jesus that, you know that I love you. And certainly we need to love Jesus and God with the same kind of attitude that Peter had and the same kind of determination to carry on his work throughout the time that we have here upon the earth, because we know that it's only the church is only going to continue to grow if we work towards that. It's up to us now. We know as Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, after he had risen from the dead, he told his apostles that he was charging them to go forth into the whole world and teach the gospel and to baptize those who would accept it. And that's a charge that's passed on to us today. It's our responsibility as well as God's children to perpetuate his kingdom. And the only way that we can do that is by not only making sure that we stay in the kingdom, that we do the things that are required to be a member of that kingdom, but we have to try to recruit, so to speak, or get others to come into that kingdom as well, because the only way it's going to stand is if we continue to help it to grow. And that's grow both in number of people that are in it and for each of the members to grow spiritually as well. I don't know if Dennis took a look at my book up here before he led song number 170, but it kind of reflects back on our text, and I'd like to read a couple of verses from that and to think about as Peter was walking on the water and how many times in life sometimes things seem to go astray for us and we begin to wonder what's happening. We can find these words very encouraging. Oft I'm tossed about on the sea of life, and I wonder if there's one who cares. Then I think of Christ who has answered prayer, and I find that he is always near. Does he really know that my faith is weak when my way is rugged, rough, or steep? Will he lead me o'er when my eyes are dim, and I'm called to cross the stormy deep? Oh yes, I know Jesus cares for me, and he answers every time I pray. I'll never fear, for he's always near, and will roll the clouds away. So I think it's important for us to remember that we need to have a strong faith, and sometimes when it feels like we're sinking, as Peter did, we need to put our trust in God and put our trust in Jesus and pray to them that we can endure whatever it is that we're involved in and whatever situation life has brought us to. And when we put our faith in God, we will be able to overcome. Well, regardless of what happens, we'll come out of it on the other side knowing that God is the one who got us through it. That's the conclusion of my lesson this afternoon. If there are those who desire the services of the church, won't you come while we stand and sing?